Hey guys, it's Kerry with the Walking on the Boulevard podcast. Hope you guys are doing good out there in Elvis land. I'm in the process of getting over a sinus infection. Been dealing with a cough and all that good stuff for the last week, and it's kind of sucked. So anyway, the reason for this podcast is a buddy of mine, Brooke Wright, has decided to start competing, and his first competition is going to be for the Ultimate Elvis Tribute Artist Contest. He's going to perform at the Nashville Elvis Festival at the end of this month. This is March, so if you go to Facebook, you can find the Nashville Elvis Festival's homepage, or you can go to Brooke Wright's homepage on Facebook, and both of them will have the information about when it will take place, when Brooke will be playing, and all that good stuff. So, anyway, I've been friends with Brooke for a long time. I've been shooting at the tent since the early 2000s, and I can't remember if I shot them my first year of shooting, which was either 2001 or 2002, but I know that I shot their show in 2003, and I've shot either their show or the BAM show, I should say. Brooke is the lead singer for BAM, Brooke Allen and the Memphis Memories Band. So I've shot either BAM's show or Brooke's solo shows every year from 2003 on. I'm positive about that. I'm just not sure about 2001 or 2. But I first met them in 2003. They had finished up their show. It was at the tent at Graceland Crossing, which is across the street from Elvis Presley's house. The tent is no longer located there. They've moved it over by the new Elvis Presley's Memphis a couple of years ago. And this year, it won't even be a tent. This year, it's going to be a building, indoor air conditioning. The air conditioning part is nice, but hopefully it's fun. I don't know. We'll see. But I mean, it should be fun. But I just hope it's not too much like going to a regular concert. I like the atmosphere of the old place where you just get up and you walk around, you mingle, see people you haven't seen in forever. So we'll see. But Brooke, I met them in 2003. They wrapped up their show. It was really, really hot. They were breaking down the stage, and I went over to them and talked to them and told them that I was doing Walking on the Boulevard. This was 2003 is when I first started Walking on the Boulevard. And I wanted to know if I could interview them. They said yes, so I interviewed Brooke, and then I interviewed Kevin over by the guard shack. And it was pretty cool. The next year, I came back, I saw him again, gave him a DVD so they could see what I'd done. It wasn't very good. I mean, I was brand new, so I was kind of learning everything as I went. But we became friends. I've talked to them for years. Every time I would see them, I would say hey to them, snap pictures with them, shoot their show. I did some follow-up interviews. Brooke's the only person to be featured in my web series ETAs twice. He has an episode for his band BAM, and there's also an upcoming episode that's just on him. So he's in there two times. But I want to start this off by doing a song. Okay, in 2004, I heard them do this song, Find Out What's Happening. This is an Elvis song that I didn't know prior to coming to Elvis Week. It's a song a lot of people thought Brooke and them had written this when they would hear it, because this is not a song that really gets played on radio, except maybe for the serious Elvis radio. They may play it on there, but regular radio stations, they have a small amount of Elvis music they play. Suspicious Minds, Burning Love, Blue Suede Shoes, those kind of songs. They don't play a lot of the songs from the late 60s and 70s, a lot of the stuff that wasn't singles, they don't play that. But there's a lot of great songs from that era. You should check it out if you haven't heard them before. But anyway, this is from 2004. This is Brooke Allen and the Memphis Memories Band doing Find Out What's Happening. We'll be right back. Well, when I decided I was going to do this podcast, I contacted my buddy Colin Paul, who he's done tons of segments for this podcast. He's done more than anyone has. And I asked him if he would be up for recording something, and he said sure. And he sent me a couple of different files. I'm going to use one in part one and one in part two. The first one I'm going to do is he sent an audio file on BAM. So check this out. This is Colin Paul on Brook Allen and the Memphis Memories Band.
I think BAM are an amazing band. I think they have the ability to go anywhere they want to go, really. I mean, the electricity that they create when they're on stage is just second to none. They're amazing. I think they're a great bunch of guys. And with those guys and Brook, I think they're a combination that can take them anywhere they want to go, really, whether it's right across the States or even around the world. And I think they're an amazing band, and good luck to them all.
At this past Elvis week, I got with Brooke and Kevin, and I decided to do a podcast segment, kind of getting their history, where they came from, and all that good stuff, and their musical backgrounds. Brooke's dad is also a musician, Alan Wright. He recorded a song that Elvis ended up doing. It's a song called "It's Your Baby, You Rock It." It's a great song. It's from the same era as the "Find Out What's Happening." It's from those early 70s. Stuff. So check that song out. It's on the internet. It's a really good song. I'm not sure if Alan's version is on the internet or not, but possibly. I'm not sure. But anyway, I did a long interview with him, and I wasn't exactly sure what I was going to do with it because it was really long. It was like half an hour long, and most of my podcasts are a half an hour or less, so I thought I might cut it into a bunch of pieces and then sprinkle it throughout three or four or five different podcasts. But then once I learned that he was going to be competing, I thought, well, this is a great way for me to use that interview clip. So here I'm going to cut it into pieces, but here is the first part of the interview that we did at Elvis Week 2018. This is Brook Wright and his lead guitarist, Kevin Williams. All right, guys, this is Kerry with the Walking on the Boulevard podcast. I'm live at Elvis Week 2018, and joining me are two musicians who have played at the tent for 20-something years, I believe. They play with a group called BAM, Brook Allen, the Memphis Memories Band. I'm joined with Brook Allen, which he also goes by Brook Wright, and Kevin Williams. Hi, guys. Thanks for joining me.
Hello.
Hey, good to see you, man. Good to be here.
So tell me a little bit about your starting the band and first starting coming to Elvis Week.
You want to start this year?
To perform, I mean.
So we'll just go to, first year we played Elvis Week, which was 1998, was the first year we as a band played Elvis Week. My first Elvis Week was in 95 when I was really just a kid and just almost kind of on a dare with my dad in 95. We came to the first Elvis Week that I'd ever been to, and my dad just made a comment and said, I want to go talk to that guy, and if I can't get you on stage to sing a song in 10 minutes, then I won't ask you again. And the place was packed, and that's when they used to have people line up to sign up to sing. And I thought, there's no way, man. 5 minutes later, they call my name and I'm on stage. And that was like, you know, and then I sang, then I talked to Danny when I came off the stage, realized that Danny and I lived 15, 20 minutes from each other. And then it just kind of started to roll. And then I got to meet Jason in high school, which is Kevin's brother, his younger brother. And we became good friends, and Jason heard me do some Elvis stuff, and I was in the high school chorus, and we did some benefit shows, and Jason kind of helped me do a few of those, just singing with soundtracks. And then just, you know, kind of the next thing you know, I was hanging out with Jason and singing over there. And then Kevin, you know, was still living at home at the time and worked a really odd shift, you know, and like midnights or something. And
right before I went to midnight.
Yeah, and Kevin came in one day and
I got a better
go
version.
Ahead.
I got
go
a
ahead.
Better version.
Okay.
So he'd been talking about his buddy in chorus and stuff, and I was working, you know, regular day shifts at that time. I went to midnights like 6 months later, and that was probably the reason we didn't come down here that year. But anyway, I'm like, he starts playing this cassette tape on this karaoke thing, and I was like, where'd you get that Elvis tape? And he goes, oh, that's my buddy Brooke. And I was like, yeah, right. He said, yeah, 16-year-old kid. And I was like, you're crazy. Mom says, that sounds like Elvis to me. He's like, no, that's my buddy. I was like, whatever. So I walked in my room and everything. So next day I come home from work, open the door, go in the house. As you go in the front door, you go straight up the steps, and the music room or bedroom was off to the right. I hear this Elvis tape blasting again. I think it was Can't Help Falling in Love with You, the concert version. And I was like, is he playing that dadgum tape again? I go charging upstairs, and I go to throw open the door and say, will you turn that down? And I look, and Brooke was probably 120 pounds then. He was 15, maybe 16 years old, barely 16 years old. And he's standing there with a mic about a foot from his darn mouth, burying the last note on that. And I went, will you turn? And my jaw hit the floor. My brother's like, hey, it's my buddy Brooke. Got somebody that said, you want to start a band? He said, we'll play some music. I was like, yeah, whatever. Whatever he sings, I'm playing it. Because we can never find the singer. But that's where it started at.
Yeah.
We sang through a little bitty guitar amp.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah. When we started the band, we had no bass player.
No PA.
And no PA speakers. And Kevin playing guitar, and Jason with a drum set, and I was singing with a microphone plugged into a karaoke machine as my speaker.
Yeah.
And then we advanced from that to me plugging into a guitar amp and singing out of that. And then we found this bass player, you know, and we put it all together, man. And it was kind of a weird thing to be that age and to be kids and to be doing Elvis music.
They were kids.
But all of them seemed to believe in what I was doing. And, you know, and I think more than anything, you guys picked up on the fact that I was passionate about it, you know. And when you find that you got a group of people that are passionate about something, you don't even think about what music you're playing. You just think about the fact that these might be some guys that we could really have some fun with, you know. And everybody just joined in and followed me, and we decided to do the Elvis thing, man. And
the first recording was hilarious.
Yeah, but
because of our backgrounds, his was more in Elvis and stuff. Mine was more being born in 72. I came up in the 80s hair band metal stuff. And it was like Elvis meets Van Halen.
It was.
First.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
It was. It was like Elvis meets Van Halen. It really was.
And it actually taught me to be a better guitar player. Taught me more about music.
To the point that the first time we did our first Elvis show on stage as a band together was at my high school, in the high school that Kevin had graduated from as well. And to that point, Kevin was wearing a Van Halen shirt on stage for the Elvis show.
Yeah, and it looked like Eddie Van Halen's guitar.
And when you go back and when you go back and watch the video, you can hear some vocals, some drums, and a whole lot of guitar, man. Kevin was just wearing it out. But I mean, we just kind of took off. Danny got involved. Danny came and ran sound for our shows.
Danny taught us so much.
Yeah, he came and ran sound for us, and him and Lena sang back up with the band and kind of helped teach, you know, people to sing different harmony parts. And Danny would literally come to our rehearsals just to listen and to give us pointers and to help us out. And
Danny's a big reason. He's the only reason we're here.
He is.
And we went as far as we did musically.
Yep.
I honestly believe that because he showed us things that we hadn't even thought about that were. Because, you know, you learn music. Sometimes some people, you learn it by listening. And sometimes you learn it by you get with people that are also ice cream. You know where that's going. So he's eating ice cream, sorry. But you learn by people showing you and teaching you stuff, you know, and sharing their knowledge with you, and you pass it on. And that's the biggest thing you have to do with music, is so this newer generation doesn't forget that music's actually made with, you know, instruments that can be strung and played, and something that's other than an electronic, you know, computer thing. There's actually, your voice is actually an instrument, and learning to sing and do vocals without auto-tune and without Apple, and actually getting out with an acoustic guitar and just singing straight like that. That's where it's really at. I mean, Elvis didn't use auto-tune. He went back and did 100 takes and got it right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Well, you know, another thing, too, with it is, like, you know, when we came down here and played our first year, our first Elvis Week as a band in 98, we were not good.
No, we were terrible.
We weren't good. We were awful.
He was great. We were terrible.
But, I mean, as a group, collectively, we weren't great, you know. But we were passionate about it, and we had done a lot of rehearsing, and we were super excited. I mean, we were really excited.
We were blown away we were getting to do it.
And I think for that alone, you know, I think we impressed a lot of people that first year when we played Elvis Week as a band, and not necessarily impressed them because, wow, this group of young kids is an incredible group of musicians or an amazing band. But, you know, looking at our ages and then us coming down and playing the show and doing the Elvis music justice to what we could as kids, I think you know, that earned us a lot of respect that I think we still have
people
today.
People were so kind to us.
Yeah, they were.
They didn't have to be.
No.
They didn't have to be. They were very kind and very loving to us. And they knew it came from the heart. That it's what we really wanted to do. As far as when we come down here, we may play 100 shows in a year or whatever, doing everything else. But when it comes to this, we always put this as top of the heap.
Yep.
My goal every year is to come down here and set the bar even higher than we did the year before.
And look.
And if I don't, I'm disappointed in myself.
Probably 15 minutes ago over there by the tent, a lady walked up to me. And this is the kind of stuff, you know, this is the kind of stuff you like to hear, because Kevin will tell you, if we put on a good show, we'll kind of high-five each other and say, man, that was a really good show,
yeah,
you know. But we don't walk out of there patting ourselves on the back like we're something special.
I pick myself apart so bad.
Exactly, and I do too.
Yeah.
But this lady just walked up to me a minute ago, and she said, you know, I don't know how many times I've seen you, you know, either perform by yourself or with Bam, with, you know, or with the Cats or whatever, you know, when I've been out here singing. She's been to Sheffield. She told me, she said, I literally told myself tonight, I know that they're going to be good because they're always good, you know, but I don't expect anything to surprise me. And she told me, she said, for the first three songs of the show tonight, she said the hair was standing up on her arms, that she had cold chills. And she said, you know, literally, she thought, they can't really surprise me anymore. She's like, and then you did. She's like, you took it to another level. And I'm like, if that's the only compliment that I get about the band for Elvis Week, good enough for me.
It was an accomplished.
Good enough
it was
for me.
Very high energy. I don't know how you guys don't pass out, because you don't.
Almost did.
Yeah, well,
almost did. We had a little rough spot, and that was me, because I just forgot. My brains went fried, and I looked at my wife, and I was like, water.
Yeah, it was hot. It was hot up there. But
it got better after those four songs. We took a break to kind of breathe, because we had to go up there to try to get all of our time and not get anybody else's. Get better and plug stuff down real quick. We had to do real quick. Of course, we don't do what we used to do. We used to roll in here with a trailer, like a bunch of wild things when we were younger.
Carrie knows that.
PA cabinets and power amps, and we used to mic every drum, every amp, and everything. We sounded like a darn huge freight. There was no need for it, but we thought we had the stuff. We still got the stuff. It's just I'm older and wiser.
So you can't get us talking because we don't shut up.
Exactly.
you probably have more questions besides that one. So.
Yeah, that's just one question.
I know. This is going to be the first 2-hour-long episode of the podcast.
I got all night. Well, maybe not. My wife may like say, oh, no, you don't. She's giving me that look.
When you first went over there, though, it wasn't the same tent, was it? It was a different, the small
It was
tent.
Small, and the stage was kind of in the corner, in
a
square.
That's the way it was my first year.
And let me tell you, man, it was all we could do as a band to fit. Like to get the fit
keyboards
on the stage.
In, too.
Yeah.
Did we bring any horn guys?
No.
You wouldn't have had a runway or anything, would you?
No.
Exactly. That was like 05.
Yeah, it was very, very, very different.
This was like 98.
Yeah.
It was.
Stage
it
was smaller, tent was smaller. But you know what? The crowds weren't. The crowds were still huge.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
The biggest crowd, the only time I've ever been scared on stage, like scared, was the 25th. We started into CC Rider. We're over to Old Crossing. And of course, you know, that was the first year they had the runway, wasn't it?
It was.
First year of the runway. This time I'm on the left side of the stage. I'm usually on the right side. If you're looking out in the crowd, I'm usually to the right. But this year I was on the left for some reason. We start CC Rider, and I got my head down, going through the whole thing. And Brooks steps out and takes both his hands and raises them up in the air like that. And when he did, the crowd was louder than we were.
Yeah,
and
they
looked up.
They literally drowned out the band.
I could not see the street for the people. I couldn't see the crossing shots for the people.
They were everywhere.
I couldn't see. Wow. I almost froze.
Yeah.
For about 30 seconds, I was terrified.
I do.
Then adrenaline kicked in. Then it was like, oh, it's on now.
Yeah. I do. And man, you remember, we used to work ourselves way too hard back then. We would do two or three shows, two or three days in a row, bring all of our own sound equipment, set it up, sound check, and then
45 minutes.
And then we got smart, you know, in the last couple of years and said, we don't need to do that. You know, older and wiser, and said, we don't need to do that anymore. So, yeah. If we would have put in that much effort tonight, as hot as it was, we wouldn't be standing here talking about it right now.
Because there'd be a couple of ambulances over there. One with him in it, one with me in it.
Now, Jason would have done. To find out what's happening, and you would walk all the way around the crossing.
I know.
While you were doing that.
I know. And you know why I quit doing it? Because I found out with that wireless mic, when I got that far away, that it delayed. So in the monitors for the band, my vocal got off time from the music, and then I messed the band up.
Okay.
You know, unintentionally, I messed them all up. I said, okay, I can't walk that far away anymore.
That's just with wireless. It does that sometimes. You have to be careful how
far out. Yeah, I just got
delayed.
Unless
you got a $3,000 or $4,000 wireless set like they use, like at these large festivals. And even those guys, even on those huge stages, they're usually a little further than that, but those things cost a lot of money.
What about you, Carrie?
What about me, bro?
What does Carrie like about BAM?
Yeah. What makes you like us, man?
No, I just this high energy, and I've
and
told
this will be the end of the podcast.
Yeah, we're taking over. We're hijacking this thing.
No, you guys are high energy. I like your original songs. I like Rock and Roll Reunion a lot.
Oh yeah, man.
And I always loved your guitar solos. They remind me of the 80s.
There you go.
It's like you don't think about hearing that during an Elvis song.
Yep.
So it's kind of really interesting.
Unless you've ever seen James live.
Yeah.
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 That's the thing about the 70s recording equipment. I had always heard all the recordings during the 70s, and I was like, Elvis's band sounds like they're going pretty good, you know. They're not knocking the walls down. And then I went to the Elvis Alive thing where they're playing live with the screen, and it's a rock concert.
Yeah.
They're knocking the walls down.
Yeah. That's when you realized just how powerful of a band Elvis had behind him every night.
He had the best players at the time. Just
because you're right, you listen to those live concerts, and they're so compressed down, and you know there was no quality live recording gear back then.
Yeah.
You know, so you're getting basically just a feed from the mixing board.
Yeah.
So it's real flat. You know, you don't hear or feel the bass, you don't hear or feel the drums, and then you go, like he said, you go to like that Elvis Live, and you hear those same guys play.
Yeah,
in an auditorium with Elvis on stage, and you hear that orchestra and all of those background singers, and you just go, holy cow.
Yeah.
You know, no wonder so many people will tell you that they went to see an Elvis concert live and that they haven't seen a concert that they enjoyed near as much since. You know what I mean? And it's not necessarily, I think it's the experience, right? For many people, it's just Elvis alone, right? It doesn't matter. He can come out and sing the phone book. But I think it's that overall experience that people talk about with Elvis that, like, you know, it kind of took you somewhere, you know? So, and that's what we try to do in our own way, is kind of just take people on a trip, take people on a ride, you know?
Yep.
So that comment that lady made earlier, that kind of makes you feel like you're doing your job.
Somebody got on a roller coaster tonight, so it was good.
Yep. I'm going to wrap up now with one more song from BAM. This is from the newer tent. This is from Elvis Week 2017. This was the tent that was, at the time, it was located right in front of the walkway that would lead up to the Elvis Presley's Memphis. They ended up this past year moving it back a little bit further so we wouldn't get huge puddles of water if it rained. So anyway, this is from 2017, and it's BAM doing Burning Love. We're going to go straight into Brian Clark closing us out with Can't Help Falling in Love, and I'll be back for part two of this podcast. We'll be right back.
I tell you, you've been fantastic, and I'd like to do this song especially for you. From Blue Hawaii.